Here from Oak Hill College in London to lead our morning service. So very warm welcome to you, Dima, and to Chris, thank you for coming and leading service. On Tuesday at 7:30 we have our prayer meeting by Zoom, and I'll be leading that. And next Sunday, just a reminder, many of us know the Thompson family who are going to Madagascar in a couple of weeks, I think. There's a commissioning service at Emmanuel Church Norstow for them, and that'll be followed by an informal picnic lunch. We don't have a time for that, but we'll find that out and let you know. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. It's great to be here for a second time. My wife and I were here back in, I think, January, February of this year. And it is great to be here with you on a beautiful Sunday morning. Paul said, I'm going into my second year at Oak Hill Theological College, training to be a pastor, and looking forward to being with you here today and talking a little bit about encouragement. I wanted to first start off with a call to worship found in Psalm 63. And I think it's particularly pertinent as we've had some really warm weather in the last few months. So let me read Psalm 63, verses 1 to 4 for us. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. So we're going to have our first hymn of this morning. It's hymn number 82. Hymn number 82 in your hymn books, if you want to turn there. It's called Glory Be to God the Father. And in this hymn, we sing glory. We sing praise and honor to the one who loved us, who washed us, who has made us kings to reign with him. So if you're willing and able, please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Amen. Please have a seat. We're now going to come to a time of prayer. And there is much that we can praise God for. But also after a long week with, I'm assuming, highs and lows, there may be some things on our heart that are troubling us. Areas where we have failed to love and serve the Lord our God. So let's bring those things to Him now. Father God, we have so many reasons to praise You. You are maker of heaven and earth. You formed us from the dust and breathed life into our bodies. You sustain our world and You sustain us, and You are the giver of good gifts. You tell us in Your word that You will be our God and we will be Your people. And You accomplish that through sending Your Son to die for us on the cross so that we might have eternal life with You. But Father, we know our hearts and our minds. We know how we fall short of Your standard. We know how we sin against You in thought, word, and deed. And Father, we are sorry today. We repent. We pray that You would have mercy on us according to Your love, according to Your promises. We pray that You would wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. And we pray, Father, that You would renew a right spirit within us. You would give us power to live lives that glorify You. We pray that in our hearts You would restore to us the joy of our salvation. And we pray that You would do all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to have our first Bible reading. It's going to come from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Feel free to turn there if you'd like. Joshua, chapter 1.
Page 216.
Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Our second hymn for today is number 772 in your booklets. It is called The Lord is Rich and Merciful, number 772. And in this hymn, we are reminded that our strength and comfort come from the Lord. We can be strong in Him. So if you're willing and able, please stand as we sing hymn number 772. please have a seat. Let me now invite Chrissy up for our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that because of your glorious grace, we can come to you as your redeemed children, holy and dearly loved. Thank you that you are a God who is not distant, that through Christ you have brought us near. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, so that you may dwell in us and transform us day by day into Christ's likeness. We give you all the honour, praise and glory as we present our requests to you this morning. Almighty God, we look at the world around us and it's easy to feel hopeless. Help us to trust in your sovereignty and not to give up on praying for peace. We pray for the recent drone attacks in Kyiv that have seen huge casualties. Please comfort those who have lost loved ones and fear for what tomorrow might bring. Grant wisdom to government officials and world leaders that they may be peacemakers above all else, and to work for an end to this ongoing violence and aggression, to serve with integrity. Amen.
Amen.
Closer to home, we pray for those students in our country who have recently received exam results. We pray particularly for Christians who are planning next steps for employment or further study. Give them wisdom when they need to make decisions. Give them courage when they face challenges. And give them peace when they feel uncertain. Guard their hearts, surround them with a loving and supportive community, and help them to remain faithful to you in all they do. Amen.
Amen.
And finally, as we come to hear your word preached and think about encouragement, we pray that we would be a people who bear each other's burdens and encourage one another. Help us to spur one another towards love and good deeds as you call us to do. We pray that we would model the radical love of Jesus to everyone we meet. May we live a life worthy of you and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge and love of you. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're now going to come to our third hymn, hymn number 350. The heavens declare thy glory, Lord. That is hymn number 350. And in this hymn, we sing of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. This word that became flesh and dwelt among us, this is the same word that guides us day by day. So if you're willing and able, please stand, hymn 350.
Thank you.
and please have a seat. We're now going to have our second Bible reading, and Chrissy's going to come up. It's going to be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. That is found on page 1188 in your Bibles. 1188.
Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Thank you, Chrissy. Well, again, let me share my thanks for having us back. It's great to be with you all here this morning at Needingworth Baptist. From the earlier reading, you might be thinking that there's a lot for me to cover in these two sections, and we're going to be here all day. Let me assure you that is not the case. In the first section, Paul is addressing the church's concern over grief in the face of death. What do we believe about those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus, but are no longer with us? And then in the second section, Paul is reminding the church the truth that he previously taught them regarding the day of the Lord. When will Jesus come back in judgment? How should Christians live until that day? Now, I admit that we might be here a while if we were going to do both of those justice, but I had both sections read because I'd like for us to pay particular attention to the end of each section. See if you can spot the similarities. Chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So this morning, I would like to speak to you about encouragement, about Paul's command that we build one another up. And so before I go any further, let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the opportunity to gather here this morning to worship you, to sing praises to you, and to hear from your word. We pray that you would be with us now, Father, that you would help me to speak truth. You would remove anything that's unhelpful. And by the power of your Spirit, you would show us that you are a God that encourages, that we can have trust in you because of what you've done through the Lord Jesus on the cross. Open our minds and our hearts to receive this truth here today. Amen. Well, I'm not sure about you, but summer is normally an opportunity for me to get a lot of admin done. Those things that have piled up over the year. Summer is the time to do that. Things generally slow down. People go on holiday. Schools break up. And one of those things is the dentist. Now, I don't love the dentist, but normally we try and get some kind of dental checkup, cleaning once a year. And Chrissy went a couple of weeks ago to the dental clinic. And when she came back from the clinic, she shared a story with me. She shared a conversation that she overheard between a man at the clinic and the receptionist. The man was young, probably in his 20s, and he completed his forms and went to the counter and gave them to the receptionist to check over. Upon reviewing the forms, the receptionist saw that the man hadn't listed anyone as an emergency contact. The receptionist asked him about this, and he said he didn't have anyone. No friends, no family. Now, I don't know the details of the man's story. Maybe he was new to the UK, he didn't know anyone here. But that was really difficult for me to hear, that he had no one as his emergency contact. My initial thought was, it shouldn't be like this. God created us in his image to love and to be loved, to be part of a community that encourages and builds each other up, a place where we are dependent on each other, a place where we care for one another, a place where we share our burdens, a place where we speak truth into each other's lives, a place where we don't hide our struggles, and a place where we receive grace and assurance. And I wonder how that story makes you feel. I wonder if that's how you feel when you came to church today. These are my people. This is my family. They know me. Well, let's turn to the scriptures now and see what God has to say to us regarding how we can be that family. I've got three main headings for you today, if you'd like to take notes. Number one, the source of our encouragement is our salvation through Jesus. Number two, our response is to encourage and build one another up. And number three, our goal is to be blameless and holy when we see Jesus. But first, let me give you a little bit of background on the city of Thessalonica and the church that was there. So Thessalonica, back in the day, was the provincial capital of Macedonia, modern-day Greece. It was well-populated, built on a crossroads of major trade routes, stretching all the way from modern-day Istanbul all the way to the Adriatic Sea. And it was also a prominent place of worship of Roman emperors. Now, Paul had planted this church during his second missionary journey. Paul started in modern-day Syria, crossed over across Turkey, and then he had a vision to go to Macedonia. And he went to Philippi, where he, along with Silas and Timothy, planted a church there. But there was intense persecution, he received a vicious beating, and then he went to Thessalonica. And this is where we read from Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 2, you don't have to turn there. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. However, while they were in Thessalonica, Paul and Silas were compelled to leave again because of Jewish persecution. And we can tell from Paul's letter that this persecution of the church continued after his departure. If you want to turn to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 6, it says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." If we continue in chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out." So, what is Paul and Silas's response upon hearing of the church's suffering and persecution? Well, they send Timothy. If you turn to chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials." This church was only a few months old. It was going through fierce persecution, and it was in desperate need of encouragement. And how does Paul encourage them in this letter? Well, it's with the truth of their salvation. And this takes me to my first point. The source of our encouragement is our salvation through Jesus. Let's turn back to chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. These are the main verses that I want to focus on today. Here, Paul is reminding the church what they already know. Jesus' second coming will be a surprise. No one can predict it. They are called to be prepared, and they are called to walk in faith, love, and hope. And they shouldn't be afraid because they are children of the light. Verse 9 in chapter 5 reminds us, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our encouragement, our hope, primarily, foundationally, eternally, comes from the fact that God has saved us. God has lavished his grace on us. God has opened our eyes to see the eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ. And if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we should have confidence that we will not face his wrath. We will be saved. Effectively, Paul is repeating what he said to the church in chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." If we are to have any hope of being an encouragement to others, if we are to have any hope of building one another up, then we need to know the truth of our salvation. We need to understand and believe the very gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to know that no matter what happens in this life, no matter how bad things get, how much persecution there is, we are destined to live with Jesus in all of eternity. And nothing can take that away from us. And so the church in Thessalonica was in deep distress about their future. But Paul encourages them with gospel truth. Let me just quickly say that if you are unsure about your future, if you are unsure about Jesus, if you're unsure of where your hope lies, I would love to chat to you after the service. It would be my joy to help you in that journey. Now, there's loads of good advice out there on how we can encourage someone. But before we even get there, we do need to be encouraged in the Lord. Now, hopefully many of you have been on a plane. And as they prepare the cabin, as they prepare to take off, they go through a pre-flight demonstration. They speak to you about the seat belts, the electronic devices, the batteries, the exits. And then they tell you about the oxygen masks. Now, this is the typical script that they go through. In the unlikely event of a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will drop automatically from the panel above you, pull the mask towards you to start the flow of oxygen, place it over your nose and mouth, etc., etc. Now, if you're traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance, secure your own mask first before helping others. Why do you have to secure your own mask first? Because you need oxygen in order to help someone else. How do we expect to be an encouragement to support another Christian if we aren't breathing in the glorious truths of the gospel ourselves? Let me now move on to my second heading. Our response is to encourage and build one another up. Let me read chapter 5, verse 11 again. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, let's take a moment to reflect here. When you walk into church today, what was your mindset? What did you expect? Have you come here expecting to be encouraged? Or have you come here with the intention of encouraging others? Now, I want to take a brief minute to do a little bit of a sidebar before I lose some of you. The church is definitely a place for those who are hurting, for those who feel like they have no hope, for those who need prayer, for those who need help in a variety of ways. All of you should feel welcome, comfortable to walk through these doors every Sunday and receive encouragement through the faithful preaching of God's word, through singing praises to the Lord, through fellowship with one another, and so much more. And there are going to be times in your walk with Jesus when you are running on fumes, when you can barely walk in here, and that's a normal part of Christian life. But let's put that to the side for a second. Paul in verse 11 tells us that we have a duty, a responsibility to encourage and build each other up. You are not here just to be ministered to. You are here to minister to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So how do we do this? Well, first we must ask ourselves, are we investing in the relationships we have here at church? Do we really know the people that are sitting around us? Do we know what's going on in their lives? Or are we walking into a room full of strangers? And I think this question is applicable regardless if you've been here 5, 10, or 50 years. Does anyone here really, really know me? I find it so easy, after the service, to get onto the same old chats about the weather, or the next holiday, or something in the news. I need to remind myself to be intentional, to ask intentional questions, to dig deeper into someone's life so that I can be an encouragement. Let's make this practical. Let's say at the end of the service today, maybe you ask someone, how's it going? Good. How was your week? Yeah, it's good. Maybe you have to ask a third question. Brother or sister, how's your faith? What promises of the Lord are you struggling to believe? Maybe you do need to get to that third question. And for many of us, that's uncomfortable. That might be uncomfortable. And of course, this doesn't happen overnight. It's not something that you can just turn on. It takes investment. It takes time. But we do need this church to be a place where people know us. They really know us, not just at a surface level. People who we've let into the messiness of our lives. Who is that one person here today who you trust and trusts you well enough for you to speak truth into their lives? Who has God given you the opportunity to encourage and to build up? Maybe to challenge them. And to point them back to following Jesus in every area of their lives. The second thing we must do is to avoid the pride in our hearts that says that we can live the Christian life alone. It can be easy for us to believe the devil's lie that we can live the Christian life alone. Let me tell you, that wasn't the case for the Thessalonian church. If we go to chapter 4 and start reading in verse 9, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia." And notice chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." The church knew that they needed one another. They needed to be reminded of the hope that they had in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to keep on doing what they were already doing. I wonder if some of you have heard of the song called "Rein Me In." It's by Sam Fender and Olivia Dean. Last month, it broke a 73-year-old record to become the longest-running UK number one single. It does use some colorful language, but it's a song about a failed relationship where the guy resorts to drinking away the pain while telling everyone else at the pub how he's messed things up. And there's a part in the song where Olivia Dean sings, "There's nothing brave in walking alone." Do we believe that? Do we pretend that we don't need encouragement? That we've got things sorted? "Oh no, that's my burden. I couldn't possibly trouble you with that. Oh no, that sin is way too personal. It's too shameful to share with anyone else." Brothers and sisters, it has been my experience that as my faith in the Lord Jesus has grown, so have the difficulties and struggles in my life. God in his providence and kindness has surrounded me with wise and loving and caring brothers and sisters who have supported me and encouraged me throughout the darkest times of my life. Let me just share with you three examples. Number one, it's easy for me to try and hide my sin from others because of the sense of shame that I might feel. I need a faithful brother to wrap his arm around me and say, "Dima, Jesus died for your sins. He was punished on the cross. There is no condemnation for you because you are united in Christ. Confess your sins to the Lord, receive forgiveness, and know that you have the power through God's Spirit inside you to live a life of obedience." It's also easy for me to feel encouraged when I shy away from sharing my faith with friends and family, fearing their rejection and abandonment. I need someone to remind me that God is my Father, that I am part of his family, the church. He has brought me into this family through Christ's death on the cross. And the gospel that I've put my faith in is the only thing in the world that gives anyone eternal hope, that gives anyone hope of heading to eternity with God. I need someone to remind me that the Lord will be with me and give me the words to say the next time I'm able to share my faith. And lastly, it's easy for me to feel hopeless when my prayers aren't being answered. When I'm crying out to the Lord, but there's only silence. I need a faithful brother and sister to remind me of the Lord's faithfulness, of the promises he has made to me through his word, of the rich blessings that I have through the death and resurrection of his son. I personally don't know where I would be here today without faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who I've let into the messiness of my life and who have loved and encouraged me. As I've made the transition from the corporate world into ministry, there have been a lot of useful resources about becoming a pastor and how to prepare for what life might look like. And one podcast that I used to listen to, it's called "You're Not Crazy" It's with two pastors that are sharing their experiences. And I think encouragement in the Christian life, it can oftentimes be a brother and sister saying to you, "You're not crazy. You're not crazy. Follow Jesus. It's worth it. Keep going. Resist the temptation to conform to this world. Keep on standing firm. It will be worth it." Well, let me move on to my third and final point. Our goal is to be blameless and holy when we see Jesus. What is the point of all this encouragement and edification? Well, it's so our lives will be transformed by the inward working of God's Spirit so that we might be blameless when He returns. Let me show you again how many times Paul speaks of being blameless and holy in his letter. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 13. It is Paul's prayer for this church. "May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones." Then in chapter 4, verse 3, Paul calls the church to live lives that please God. "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And then lastly, he finishes the letter in chapter 5, verse 23, with a final call of sanctification. "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's impossible to miss throughout the letter. The goal of our lives is to pursue holiness. This is progressive sanctification through the work of God's Spirit. We are not alone in this. It's not just about trying harder and harder. God's Spirit helps us. And all of our responsibilities is to encourage and build one another up so that they can look like Jesus, more like Him each and every day. And as you do that, you're able to say to a fellow brother and sister in Christ, "Look at what the Lord has done in your life. Look at how He's changed you. Look at how you've grown in your love and your obedience to Him over the last few weeks, months, and years." And that is my prayer for each and every one of you, that in the next year, in the next 2 years, 5 years, you will all have incredible stories to share of people in this room and how God has done an incredible work in their lives. And you can say, "I was a part of that. God used me." Isn't that something that we should all be praying for? Well, let me finish with a final challenge to all of you. Who will you be an emergency contact for in this church? Who has God called you to encourage and build up, to enter into the messiness of their lives, and to provide biblical truth and hope? Not just a feeble and fleeting hope, but the eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just struck by your grace and kindness to us first. And Father, we don't have to earn our salvation by doing good, but Father, we get to do it out of an overflow, an abundance, a joy, and a thanksgiving of the work that you've done through Jesus on the cross. Father, please help us to remember that. Please help us not to just add one more thing to our list in the hope that you love us and we will be enough for you. Help us to know that our salvation is secure through our faith in Christ's work on the cross. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to one another. Lord, we wouldn't be afraid to ask deeper questions. We wouldn't be afraid to show care and love for the people sitting next to us. Father, help us to be vulnerable. Help us to let others enter the messiness of our lives as we see the messiness of theirs. I pray, Father, that we would be wise, that we would point people to your word, that this wouldn't be worldly outside wisdom, but it would be glorious gospel truth found only in your word, Lord. Help us, Father, to do this so that your church may be built up, that all of us would look more and more like you each and every day, that we would be a light to others in our community. And Father, I pray that all of this would overflow from the hope and the joy that we have because we are saved. Father, let that be our sole encouragement, despite how bad things get, despite when trials, when suffering, when disappointment comes. I pray that that salvation that we have, that joy in Jesus, would keep us going until we see you face to face. We pray all these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Well, now we're going to sing our final hymn of this morning. That is hymn number 532 in your books. It's called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 532. And in this hymn, we sing of the Christian love that we have for one another. This is the same Christian love that causes us to encourage and build one another up. So if you're willing and able, please stand as we sing number 532. Please have a seat. Let me finish our time this morning with a closing prayer from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. Have a great week.